Once upon a night,
there we
midnight
go.
Dreary. Hold on a minute. I can't hear anything with it. I put the cotton in my ear to keep the cold air out. But it doesn't sound like I'm speaking when I have it in here, see? I mean, it's like I need to learn sign or something.
A little bit more, it's on orange.
Yeah, I need help. Daniel. 6. See, I didn't want to give that away. I wanted to read this thing, and then, you know, but anyway, okay. Yeah, so I'm in Daniel, so you guys are going to know this is about Daniel, and he got chucked in the lion's den, okay? Listen to what happened because of that, see. The guy that wrote this was a heathen. He was inspired, but he was a heathen. He was not a believer. Now, he believed what he saw. But he wanted to make everybody in his whole kingdom adhere to what he knew to be the truth. And so this is what he wrote, see. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. Huh? His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. Whoa. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And this king wrote this thing. See, and he wrote a decree. And he said, hey, all you people going to believe that or else. Wouldn't Christianity be simple if we could just say, well, you guys are going to believe that Jesus died for your sins and or else. It is a or else, but you have to wait till later to find out that the else is not good. Huh? I mean, that's a fact. It won't change. His kingdom endures forever.
Amen.
Huh? And he does save.
Amen.
I can vouch for that.
Amen. Thank you, Charlie. Before now the children have been dismissed, and before we actually start with what I want to share with you this morning, this is the... Did it? I did kill it. I thought you turned that right there and the other one came on. Well, the other one must be burnt out too. Because I did that. We don't have time to change it. It's all right. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14. We'll just do it that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Keith, this is just the teaching before the sermon. First Corinthians 14. For those of you who have an NIV, yours reads this way. Oh, I'm sorry. 14:26 would help if I said that, wouldn't I? 14:26. Ray, come here a minute, please. Go to the office and run me about 15-20 copies of that. What then shall we say, brothers, NIV, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Now, we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. Here's the sentence, though, on the end of that verse that I want you to pay close attention to. All these things must be done for the strengthening of the church. That's why it's done. It's done for the strengthening of the church. I want to read you that same verse out of the Living Bible. It reads this way. Well, my brothers, let's add up what I am saying. When you meet together, some will sing. Another will teach or tell some special information God has given him or speak in an unknown language or tell what someone else is saying who is speaking in an unknown language. But everything that is done must be useful to all and build them up in the Lord. What I'm wanting to tell you before I tell you is basically this. I hope that during this week, you have been seeking God and preparing your heart to bring an offering to the worship. A song, a prayer, a scripture, a word. Coming without an agenda, but coming with a gift. And then allow God, by His agenda, to use that gift as part of our worship. Where I am actually praying that we are going is this. I would like to see a day in our church, or our church mature to the place where when we come in, we are ready to worship. And that the sanctuary is open and there are people who are already worshiping God even as others are starting to come in. And that then from that, it starts moving from being an individual thing to where by the flow of the Holy Spirit, it starts to be orchestrated to where then it becomes corporate worship. And so I'm issuing you that invitation. An invitation to come and worship God. And then we will just join in and flow right along with you. It becomes corporate. And from there, we just wait and see where God leads. But everything that's done must be useful to all and build them up in the Lord. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to seek the Lord during the week. And as He shares things with you and as He makes revelation to you and as he puts a song in your heart, recognize that as the gift that it is. And bring that gift to the altar and let God use it. Amen? Anybody have a question about worship and the direction that it's starting to go and how we're doing it? Anybody at all? Okay, you can ask, but if you would like to have a piece of paper to take notes on this morning, if you raise your hand, Ray will give you one. Yes, Miss B. We can at some point, and they are going to be part of what we'll be doing. But basically, right now we're just at our crawling stage, and there are some other, I'll just be frank enough to say, there are some other issues that we're dealing with about commitment levels and following God and some things like that, that just we don't have the pool to pull from to pull it off at this point. But we're going to work with what we got. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Is Charlie?
There was a song on the radio lately that on that station that you listen to, but it says the Lord's Prayer, and I've been having a tough time with some of the people at my work, and I knew I was going to have to go in and work with them, and that song came on the radio, and I sat there, and even though I was going to be a minute or two late, I sat there and I just sang it with the radio, and it actually made my day better, and that's why I brought that.
Amen. And I thought that was wonderful too. Absolutely wonderful. How many of you have been a while since you recited the Lord's Prayer? Amen. Any other questions about worship? Yes, ma'am.
This is my first day here.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And I've been looking for a church for so long. And it seems like in every church I've ever been to, everyone is supposed to be led by the people up there.
Mm-hmm.
The music will just take you away. It will, you know, you don't have to think. You just go along with it. And I don't even know what I want to say, but I feel like what you're doing is so, so very much what God wants for you to do. It's just, it's hitting me so hard. And I don't know if that means anything to you because you don't even know who I am. But I've never heard anything said that sounded and rang so true in my heart. That God wants everyone to bring something.
Yes, amen, He does.
And when everyone is bringing something, then He can completely move in every heart.
Mm-hmm.
And in every mind.
Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, we had a great analogy last week. When we had our cover dish and everybody brought something, then all of us ate more than we should have. You know, and that's what we're looking for our worship to be. Something where everybody brings something, we put it all on the table, and everybody leaves more than satisfied because of everybody's gift.
When we were worshiping, I saw a picture of, and I see pictures of the of things that are in the Word. And I saw a picture of a prophet who was sent by God to this place. And the person that he met was a widow and her son. And he said to her, give to God, the prophet who was an emissary of God. He said, give to God. And the thought went through her mind, well, this is all we have. We will starve. And he says, give to God without reserve, without holding anything back. And they did. And they opened the door for God to bless her and her household because of that. And if you come to church expecting to get something, you have to give everything first.
Mm-hmm.
Or you won't receive anything. We're not here to entertain the elders, the pastor, the teachers. We're not here to entertain for your pleasure. If you want that, you can go to Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And you know, it's, and don't think this is not going to come without a price. Don't think that it's not going to come without a price. But I believe that this is biblical worship. I believe it's where God has us. I'm not throwing any stones at anybody else, but it's where God has us. And you ask yourself the question, does it have precedent? Well, I think the whole New Testament is. Just a little. It was like the guy that, yes, ma'am. The gist of what he said? I'm sorry, the gist of what she said. This is my first time here. And if I say something that you didn't say, go, I didn't say that. But it either has been years or I have never walked into a place where I felt the Holy Spirit so immediately and that the form or the style of worship that you are endeavoring to try to bring into this place is what I feel is on God's heart and is the way it should be done. Is that a correct synopsis? Okay. Alrighty. And it is true. Anyone else? Alrighty. Okay, Keith, I'm ready then. I want to be back on this subject for a minute. Let me say this. No one has actually said this to me, but I can read. I can read diaries, can't I, Jonathan? It's what the children accuse me of all the time because I can tell them what it is they're thinking before they tell me. They call it, my daddy can read your diary. I can read your eyes. I can hear your hearts. I can read your diaries. And some of you were concerned about how personal things got last week. Let me say this. There isn't any better place to be personal and to drop down all of our facades than right here.
Amen?
Amen? And ask straight questions, you're going to get straight answers.
Amen.
And I will always endeavor to not say anything to hurt your feelings, but I also want to... John 8, we're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set us free. Amen? Yesterday, Michelle and Jonathan and I were in the car together, and Michelle asked me a question concerning her and Jonathan. And I said, well, to you, honey, this is what I would say. And I gave her an answer. But before I answered the question Michelle had asked for Jonathan, I looked at Jonathan and I said, do you want me to tell you the truth? Because you see, until people want the truth, we don't have the right to tell it to them. And they're not going to receive it anyway. Amen? What we are after is the truth to set us free. But there was two more steps I wanted us to go we didn't get a chance to get to last week. So let me just lay a basic ground rule here, and then we'll go on to these two other steps. One ground rule I want us to understand is this. We must move from concept to application. We've got to move from concept to application. In other words, just simply saying, oh yeah, I agree with that. Oh yeah, I know that's true, is not enough. We've got to now then take the concepts that we believe to be true and apply them to our lives. It's like when you say to your children, don't you think your room needs to be cleaned up? Yeah, I think it needs to be cleaned up. They don't have a problem so far. It's when you start applying that concept. Well, don't you need to go clean your room? Well, no, I don't need to go clean it. That's when the war starts. Right? The battle of the wheels comes in, not at concept, but at application. Do you believe the concept that the truth about yourself will set you free from you? Yeah, I believe that. Well, let me tell you the truth about you. No, 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 don't tell me that. I don't want the Holy Spirit revealing me to me, because when He does, I'm going to have to change. But I believe He can reveal me to me. I like it that He's God and that He knows it all. I just don't want Him talking to me about what He knows. Or somebody else. Or yeah, definitely. Well, let me just tell you what. If you won't let God talk to you about you, He'll talk to you about somebody else. To somebody else. Yes, He will. We must move from concept to application. And for those of you taking notes, I need one of those notes so I can help you fill in the blanks, because I'm not sure where they are. We got another one of those sheets left? Ray's got one. Okay, we'll be glad to get you one. Do we have any more, Ray? If not, you can have this one. We must move from concept to application, and we are spirit, ladies and gentlemen. We are a spirit. We're not a body that has a spirit. We're not a soul that has a spirit. We are a spirit that resides within a body and expresses itself through our soul. So if we are going to solve the problems of our lives, they've got to be solved on a spiritual level. Now, the problem about solving things on a spiritual level is this. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so if we are going to solve problems and situations and have victories in our lives, we must understand that the instruction of how to handle what we're involved in must come from the Holy Spirit. Because what we are is a spirit. John chapter 8, verse 30. And the King James says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 30 in the NIV says, if you hold to My teachings, you are really My disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Living Bible says, you are truly My disciples if you live as I tell you to. It's an interesting paraphrase. If you live as I tell you to, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, what is polarity? Polarity is an attraction toward a particular object or in a specific direction. And what we're talking about is personality polarity. Polarity has, you got three little bars there across your notepad there. Polarity has a positive, it has a negative, and it has a neutral. It has a positive, a negative, and a neutral. Bryce Richard can tell you more about polarity than I ever could. But I'm hurrying through this because we talked about it last week, and I want to move on to the other two things I want to cover with you. But I want to make sure we've got our foundation laid. Inside of my personality is a polarity that causes me to be attracted to certain other people who have the opposite polarity. In my personality, there are things that are positive, there are things that are negative, and there are things that are neutral. One of the analogies that I drew last week was this. It's interesting how many times people get a divorce because they can't live with husband or wife A. They turn right around and they marry that identical same person a second time. It's not the same body, it's not the same face, but it's the identical same personality. It's the abusive, it's the woman who marries an abusive man who divorces him because he's abusive and then turns around and marries another man who's abusive. Why? Because in that polarity, it pulls me like this to that particular person. It's the story that I shared with you about the woman who called me up and she said, my daughter's getting married and she wants you to officiate her wedding. Will you do her wedding for her? I said, I doubt it. She said, why? I said, because I know your husband. And he's a jerk. He is a jerk. He's one of the few people I know in this world that I really have not yet found a redeeming factor in. And I'm not trying to be funny. That is the saddest thing, that I cannot find one redeeming factor about this person at all, other than the fact that Jesus died for him. But there's not one good quality in this person that I'm aware of. And what happens is that because of her being raised in that house, she's going to have a certain polarity to try to find a man like Dad. And I wouldn't wish her off being married to somebody like her dad for nothing in the world. Judy Jacobs came up to me last Sunday after church. And she said, my mama did marry his daddy. Right. Same personalities. Because as Judy gets older, she becomes more like her mama. As Bruce gets older, he becomes like his daddy. If I stop and think to myself, see, my wife, as she gets older, we're still praying for her, aren't we, Jonathan? We are praying for her, but she becomes more like her mother. And I love my mother-in-law, but she's unique. Was that safe? And the older I get, the more like my dad I become. But if in my mind, I know we're still praying about that too. But if in my mind my dad married her mother, it would work. Yeah, it would. It would. They'd get along just fine. And see, there's that polarity in there. That as she gets older, she's become more like her mother. As I get older, I'm become more like my dad. And I'm optimistic about our future. Because I can see what it is we're becoming like. You see what I'm saying? That polarity is developed. I put this on your thing there. That polarity is developed by our choices we make, by the way we were raised, by our beliefs, and also by our predisposition or our heritage. And we talked some about that last week, about being predisposed to certain traits, like alcoholism. Some people are predisposed that if they start drinking, they will become an alcoholic because they just are predisposed due to their generic makeup. Genetic, thank you. Genetic makeup. Yeah, that too. And we can back that up scripturally. The sins of the Father are... So there are some predisposed genetic, thank you, genetic things that cause us to be that way, that cause us to develop this certain polarity. Now, the $100,000 question that was asked was, what can I do to change my polarity so that I am attracted to the right kinds of people and live a very healthy life? And let me say this also. When we talked about this last week, Michelle, in her polarity, she's a nurturer. So here she is at something over 39, and she goes back to school. And in the classroom, she's the oldest one. So what does that then make her automatically? She's the mother hen that all these young ones come to. See? Because in her nature, in her polarity, she has a very strong nurturing side. Now, is that nurturing side positive, negative, or neutral? The answer is yes. It is very positive. Because there are a lot of times when these younger ones need to be pulled up under the wing of somebody a little older and let them know that we are in a very difficult course. We are studying for a very fine profession. And we're going to have to work hard. And if you girls are going to go out during the, you know, after school and party until 2 o'clock in the morning, you ain't going to make it. Now, that's a very positive influence on those people. But that nurturing can be negative. If she then takes that attraction that people have because of her nurturing nature and uses it to feel some kind of a need inside of her. So it isn't that nurturing is positive or that it is negative or that it is neutral. It's how it is used. It is how it is either used by the Holy Spirit in our lives or how we use it in our lives. You follow me? We talked about personal responsibility. Sorry, I had to bring those words back up again, didn't I? But see, what we do is we go, you know, well, I guess I'm just going to have to change jobs again. You know, it seems like to me everywhere I go, there's this kind of person. I just can't stand working with that kind of person. And I'm going to find me a job, and that kind of person's not going to be there. Right. Well, do you know what was consistent in every job you had? You. And those kinds of people are going to just, you know, like a magnet, they're going right up next to us. Until we change our polarity. Until we allow the Holy Spirit to change our polarity, those kinds of people who are driving you crazy are always going to be attracted to you. It is why, ladies and gentlemen, in our lives, we continue to repeat the same mistakes we say we don't want to make. That's why we do it. It is our polarity. It manifests itself out in a physical world where we can see it, but it all is evolving and coming out of our spirits. Okay, everybody got it. All right, good. Let's move on then. So, the question is, how do I change? And this is what God told me when He and I were talking about this. We must take ourselves as we are and lay ourselves down at the foot of the cross. We must take ourselves and lay ourselves down as we are at the foot of the cross. It isn't my decision as to what needs to be changed. It's my decision as to whether or not I'm going to let Him change me. Now, we hate this because it takes control out of our hands. God, here's what I want to give to you. And He's going, that's not what I'm asking for. I know, but what you're asking for, I really want to keep. And He goes, no, you really don't want to keep it. Well, I know that really I need to let it go, but it really hasn't tortured me enough yet for me to bring it to you. He goes, no problem. I'll turn up the torture. I call it the hell factor. Just how much hell do you want to live in before you wouldn't let him have it? But we cannot change ourselves, nor can we decide what needs to be changed. We must take ourselves as we are, lay ourselves at the cross. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. And then let Him, by His Holy Spirit, direct, dictate, and change what He wants to mold and make different. Well, surely I've got to do something. Well, no, it's called a Trinity for a reason. The three of them don't need your help. Right? All they need is for you to quit fighting them. And if we'll quit fighting Him, He's all we need. We listened to that song. Some of you knew it. But we listened to that song this morning. He's more than enough. More than enough? I can't remember how the lyric goes now. My every longing, my every thirsting, You are more than enough. Now, either that's true or that's not true. But let me tell you something. It is true. So, let's move on to the next point that I'm wondering. Okay, have I got my base laid all right? Okay, let's go to the next step then. Not only can you not change yourself, point number two I want to make is you can't change anybody else. You cannot change anyone else. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a rest that can be found in Jesus that we don't find because we're trying to change people that only the Holy Spirit can change. And we're trying to change people the Holy Spirit's not even trying to change because the Holy Spirit recognizes the fact they don't want to change. And until they want to change, He ain't fooling with them either. Hello? And so we worry, and we talk, and we wring our hands, and we bombard heaven. Now, please hear me on that part. There's nothing wrong with praying that God will change someone. Okay? But here's what, secretly, this is what we want. God, give me that one thing to say that will open up their eyes. Exactly. Or so they can be what it is I want them to be. Give me that one bombshell. Give me that one nuclear weapon. Give me that one grenade that when I toss it over, they'll go, oh, you were right. Now, does an enlightenment come to people? Yes, it does. But it's brought about by the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit use us in other people's lives? Yes, He does. There are times when we do say that one thing and they go, yes, that does happen. But do you know what? Every time that I can ever remember it happened, it wasn't because we were prepared and went with the Word. It was because we happened to be at the right place at the right time, led by the Holy Spirit, and it fell out of our mouth. And 9 times out of 10, we didn't even know the light went on. Didn't even know what I said. That set people free for the rest of their lives. Jesus is walking along one day. And He said, whoa, who touched me? They said, you have got to be kidding. Everybody in the world's touching you. He goes, no. This was a special touch. Healing went out of me. Now, I tell you, I am so convicted by that story. And for years, I have prayed, God, that's where I want to walk. I want to walk in such a place with You that virtue can flow and you don't have to tell me in advance that it's coming. That you can use me to set somebody free by something I say, a prayer I pray, a song I sing, whatever. You can pull out of what is in me whatever it is that person needs, and you and I, we don't have to pray about it for 2 hours before you do it. Amen? That as I walk along, I can be a blessing to a world that needs a blessing. Not because I'm cooperating with you, but because I'm just in such alignment with you, you can shoot it right straight through me to them from you, and I'm not stopping the conduit. That's where I want to live. I don't know if anybody can live there or not. Then you can't. If you think you can't, you can't. Right, Mr. Foy? If you think you can't, you can't. We can't change other people. God does call us to intercede. God does call us to pray for people. We pray for our children. We pray for our family. We pray for our church. We pray, God, if in your infinite wisdom you choose to use me, I'm available to you. But God, in the end, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Just sitting right here, if we were to be honest, there's a whole lot of you sitting right now under the sound of my voice who could have more peace than you ever thought possible in your life if we would just simply let go of trying to change people we care about.
Amen.
Because they have a certain polarity based on, I lost my little list here, their choices, their upbringing, their beliefs, their predisposition. But, and I'm sorry, this was something we mentioned last week. I want to make sure we touch on again this week, okay? Your polarity didn't make you. Well, I couldn't help it. I guess that's just my... No. You made your polarity. It's my choices, my decision,
I didn't have any choice over what family I was born into. I got a certain heritage.
Hey, let me tell you something. There is a heritage attached to this right here. And you can trade your heritage in for a new heritage anytime you're ready. Any day you're ready, the Holy Spirit stands ready for, God, Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit stands ready for Jesus to have the reward that He purchased for you 2,000 years ago, where you can have a whole new family with a whole new bloodline and a whole new set of circumstances and consequences to work in your life if you're willing to lay yourself down at this cross and let Him do it. Become new, even your heritage. And that's why they call it the good news. Because that's exactly what it is. It's the good news. I don't have to be tied by what happened long before I ever got here. I can be set free and my children can be set free. For their heritage to be different than it's ever been. Because the blood's strong enough to overcome it. Amen? Alright, that's good stuff. That's good preaching even if I'm doing it. Because you see, the truth will set you free. It'll set you free. I am who I am today, and it's got nothing to do with my mama dropping me on my head when I was 2 weeks old and she picked me up out of a cradle. Now, she didn't, but I mean, you know, but I've heard things just about that stupid. I am who I am today because of the choices that I've made. And the good parts of me are due to my choices, and the bad parts of me are due to my choices, and any change will be made by my choices. My polarity is not ruling me, I'm ruling my polarity. Now you're all sitting there shaking your head going, yeah, but we've got to take that now then over off onto the people that we care about. Our children, our parents, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles, our next door neighbors. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against polarity. We're wrestling against the spirit of a man. Because we are spirit. My drug dealing next door neighbor is not a problem. He's not the problem. She's not the problem. Lord, that woman got a mouth. You can hear her from one end of the street to the other. And I don't think she ever says anything quietly. I'm sitting there yesterday, and I can hear her all the way across her yard, across the street, across my yard, and into my house. Talking to somebody about something. But do you know what? The City Monroe Police ain't my answer. That's why they ain't been called. Because they can't fix that problem. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm calling the Holy Spirit down on that house. And how many of you know the Holy Spirit is a whole lot more powerful than City Police Monroe ever thought about being? Because we're going to deal with that thing on a root level. Well, let me move on to something else. We can't change ourselves. We can't change others. So, take a deep breath. Relax. And either God can be trusted with the people that you have concerns for, or He can't. Make a decision. How long will we halt between two opinions? There's a rest that can be found in God. Turn with me to John chapter 14. And I'll cover what I think is my last point about this. John chapter 14. John 14:30. This is where it gets really good. Hereafter, Jesus says, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. Everybody know who the prince of this world is? Okay. And King James says, and hath nothing in me. NIV says, has no hold on me. Living Bible says, has no power over me. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the invitation this morning. Do you want to live where Jesus lived? I'm not talking about Israel. I'm talking about a place where when the prince of this world comes, he can find nothing in you, hath no hold on you, hath no power over you. Now let's challenge our minds and our spirits just a little bit. Are you trying to tell me, preacher, we can live there? Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Every thought brought to the captivity of the Lordship of Christ over our lives. Every thought. Imagine in your mind Velcro. You know, for Velcro to work, it takes two parts. For the enemy to have any power over me, he's only one part. And he can throw everything he can throw. But it just hits and falls off. If there's not another piece of Velcro there somewhere. Have you seen the little cheap dart boards that are made out of Velcro? Yeah. You know, and the cheap ones, you can throw it and it doesn't stick because it hits on the part that doesn't have the Velcro on it. Yeah. And so you throw it, your ball or your dart or whatever, and it hits the board and it falls off. Now if you'll stop, how many of you have ever done that? You know what I'm talking about? You know how frustrating that is, try to play that game and I think keep falling off. Wouldn't you love to have your life to where it just frustrated the devil like that?
Yeah.
To where everything he throws at you just falls right off. Because there's no other side of the Velcro on you. There's no power that can hold you. There's nothing in you that that thing can attach itself to. Exactly. And so, Misty hurts my feelings. She didn't speak to me this morning when she came in. I don't know what. You know, I mean, she did speak to me, but I mean, you know. But the enemy comes along and goes, she's mad at you. She don't like you. She thinks you're a jerk. And he throws these things, see? And I'd like to be no place inside of me where that can stick. Frank was at work this week. He said something ugly about his preacher to some of the people he works with. Y'all be mad at him. No place for that to stick. Boy, your boss is a jerk. All them other people over there that are not doing anything, he don't say anything to, but you, he's always picking on you. How many of you know the devil will throw that at you? No place for it to stick. In my house. How many, you know, that would just be heaven all by itself, wouldn't it? If 24/7 there was nothing ever said or ever done in my house that ever stuck. That'd be heaven on earth, wouldn't it? And you know, that's what Miss B was saying this morning. He just said amen. That's what Judy was saying this morning. I'm going to tell you something. How long have we been married, baby? 11, 12 years, something like that? My wife is not the same woman I married. I'm not the same man she married. There have been dramatic changes. I mean, we talked, I said something a little earlier about being personal, but I'm not going to get this personal, but let me just tell you this. We've had some arguments that I'm glad nobody was there to witness. Amen. Where we were really ugly to each other. Where our mouths were running and our brains were definitely in neutral. And I'm going to tell you what 90% of it boiled down to. I knew what was wrong with her and I was going to let her know about it so she could change. And she knew what was wrong with me and she was going to let me know about it so I'd change. And when we made a decision that we weren't going to start changing, we were going to not change each other, it's amazing how many changes happened. Because when you let Jesus be Lord, He'll be Lord. I believe that there's a place that has been purchased for you and I in Christ. Not only where we can live our lives where every thought's brought captive, but a place where when the enemy comes, he hath no power over me, has no hold on me, hath found nothing in me. Now,
well, I hear you up there talking. You there?
No, I'm not there. Mr. Cynicism. But I can see that place. And that's where I'm headed. That's where I want to live. That's what I want to be. And I want to be there and I want to live there for this reason. Jesus died that I might have it and He's worthy of me receiving everything He paid for. I sure don't one day want to stand before Jesus and Him look at me and go, well, now, Don, I sure would. I sure did suffer a whole lot more than you took advantage of. And I'm sure there's no guilt passed out in heaven. Okay? But here on earth, I understand that reality. And I want all that Jesus wanted me to have. Because it honors Him for me to have it. Do you follow what I'm saying? No, I'm not there. I still have some personality polarity that needs to be worked on. There are times when there's a disconnect between my head and my mouth. Hello? Don't y'all look at me like, yeah, that's true about you. Yeah, that's true about us. Yeah, that's true about us. And my mouth is running. And my head ain't thinking. Amen?
Amen.
And I want that polarity to be laid down at the cross. To where when my mouth is running, it's because, not because my brain is in gear, but because my ears are open. Hello? Because my ears are open. And I'm only repeating what it is I'm hearing Him say. And I'm only doing what it is I'm seeing Him do. And you believe that's possible this side of eternity? Yes, I do. Yes, Ray? Yes, He has.
And to take the power that He has put in you in the Holy Spirit, it will destroy the works of the devil that come against you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's where I want to call us to this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want to know, will you come and go with me? Will you every moment of every day purpose in your heart, God, I want every thought to be brought captive. I want everything that I do to not give any leeway for the enemy to find a foothold in my life. I want you to notice here too that at the beginning of this verse, Jesus says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the enemy's coming, because what Jesus understood was talking opens the door for the enemy to get in. It's amazing how we dismiss the children to go out there to children's church to learn, be careful little mouth what you say, be careful little ears what you hear. But then on this end of the church building, we forget about that. I thank God that on that end of the building, we're teaching them red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. And on this end of the building, we hadn't forgot that. Amen. Isn't that good news? But on this end of the building, we've forgotten. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Lord up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, mouth, whatever that song goes, what you say or do. I see. Whatever. We need to learn that on this end of the building too, don't we? So that the enemy doesn't have any place in us to be able to stick. What do you call those little things that you pick up in the woods on the bottom of your pants? Hitchhikers, burrs, and cuckleberries, cuckabriars. Okay, whatever. You know, as I walk through life, I don't want in my spirit to be all this little stuff that needs to be picked off. You know? I want to be able to just walk through life and that stuff not be able to attach itself. There's no anger. There's no unforgiveness. Huh?
Teflon gone.
I think that's already been taken. The Teflon Don. No anger. No resentment. No unforgiveness. No hurt feelings. No animosity. No hate. No jealousy. No greed. No lust. That stuff doesn't have any place to be able to stick. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It is not obtainable by our will. It is obtainable by a surrender of our will to the Holy Spirit. It's going to be an adventure. Will you come with me? Let's pray. Father, this morning we lay ourselves out at your cross. Just as I am. And without any pleas on my lips. Please change this, please change that, please fix this, please do that. No pleas, just as I am, without even one plea. Except for the plea that your blood, it was shed for me. Oh Jesus, I come. And I pray, oh God, you have your will and your way in my life and in the life of this church. And God, we would ask you to bring to us those of like mind and like heart whose desire is to worship you and to see Jesus lifted up. That indeed, O God, you would find a place of salt here on the earth where your kingdom can come and your will is being done. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new. Change my heart, O God. I want to be like you. Lord, we ask you to take the things that we've heard today by your Holy Spirit, plant them deep within our heart, and let us, O God, walk in faithfulness with you every day of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have yourselves a good week. Yeah.